Kristen.
Yo, Jenny.
Are we podcasting?
We're podcasting, and it's going to be an exciting episode today.
We're very excited about this. And we need something exciting because we were just discussing how our kids are ungrateful pukes.
Yeah. I'm sorry if that, you know, I think sometimes you and I are afraid to say the way we really feel because it somehow makes us sound like we don't love our kids.
We absolutely
that's
love
not
them.
Not true. But they're being real buttholes right
now. I don't want to seem ungrateful for my children because they really do love them. I think they're, and other people tell me they're great. But
I want to know that they're great.
They are not that way to us right now whatsoever.
Jesus Christ. I told my kids, I said, I want to tell you something. When all I do is bend over backwards for you guys to make your life work, when I need your help, you better show up for me because all I do is give and give. And then guess what I heard? My mother's voice come out. And then I was like, I need to go get Aperol Spritz.
That's why us Gen Xers are apprehensive to do it. We don't want to sound like it school's uphill in both directions. But I will tell you that my husband and daughter went to Michael's Crafts and spent $100 to buy things that they need. $100, what I didn't approve of. And I had coupons. I had vouchers. They could
you have
fucking
so
use.
Much art supplies
are
in your house.
Are you kidding me? And they forgot a bag. They did self-checkout and they forgot a bag. And it's like 7 o'clock at night. And I'm like,
I'm going there.
Nobody's answering the phone at Michael's. So I'm like, I am going there. And I don't care who I have to wrestle to get. The girl was very nice. She was like, I don't think you're going to drive out here at night to get a bag of stuff that you didn't pay for. And I was like, thank you. Thank you for that. But my daughter, do you think she appreciated it? The next morning, she's like, I had to fight her to brush her hair. I go, I spent an hour getting your shit that you forgot at Michael's. You can take 2 minutes to take this brush out of my hand and put it in your hair for 2 minutes.
You guys, I keep telling my kids at 15, I had a job and it was detasseling corn. So you can pick up, you can help. This is what it is. Like my people had kids to help with the farm. That must have been the most dysfunctional farm in the history of farms.
I'm telling you right now.
This is their workout load.
You could probably offer me like hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to detassel corn, and I would not do it. It is hot.
I actually loved it.
It is humid. There are huge grasshoppers and snakes. I can't.
I freaking loved it. I did. And mostly I loved it because my mother hated it.
And you loved it because there were cute older boys.
So many older boys there that would have to help me because they would never talk to me normally. I was just like, you know.
I mean, that's better than money. A little like sexual attraction, a little fire.
Oh, my God. Do you understand how many love stories I had in my head?
I think
that they had no clue they were operating in that world for me. There's this guy named Chad, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, why are you acting so weird?
You're not familiar. We don't.
I was like, stop flirting. He was like, ugh.
Yeah. Are you going to sit by on the bus out to the field?
Exactly. And I would sit like four rows back, and I was like, this is basically like we're dating.
I worked at Long John Silver's, so.
All I'm going to say is our kids have been hard right now, and I'm not afraid to say it. There's times they're great. This isn't one of them. We are very excited to interrupt this shitty
complaining
crap
session
with a really great,
super exciting
Rosebud Baker, who just, I just think that when a woman grinds it out in comedy clubs from a young age and then sticks to it after,
sorry,
she's
but it's
a mother,
harder. It's harder, dude.
You're a unicorn. There aren't many of us that do that because it is not conducive to motherhood, but the stories that are being told from the POV of mothers is so important. Like support her. She's coming to Los Angeles. She's going to be on our podcast. She's a guest. We love her.
Let's get into it. Ladies, we are so excited today. We have a very special guest with us. She is a stand-up, a mother, an author. She's a writer on SNL, you guys, Weekend Update. She's fantastic. She's also gorgeous and can really rock bangs. It's Rosebud Baker, everybody. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So excited to have you. And we're big fans of your stand-up. And I think you're like, a renegade on stage, and it's been really fun to see. There's just some stand-ups that you're like, I can't wait till they have kids because their perspective is going to come at this really hard and fast. And you do not disappoint. And I just, I also think that there's this thing happening with women in stand-up too, where you're part of that group where you say the thing that everybody's thinking about and you're very direct, but it's your personal POV. And it's really like, you don't mince words, and so, but you're never, but when you say it, it's never offensive. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's a relatability to it, but it's very much your voice and your specifics. And I think that's what Jen and I try to do too, is like, just try to keep specific and honest. And, and if it's crude or if it's direct or if it's harsh, that's the reality of the truth of it.
I feel like if there, you try to do that. I mean, sometimes people will get offended regardless of, like, you know, humor's subjective, so it is what it is. But I feel like as long as you're coming from a place of like, this is my experience, that for me is like where I feel like I can defend something as long as it's coming from my personal experience.
Because it's your truth. It's
Like, well, this is what I experienced. It might not... There's no reason to be like, oh, you shouldn't be offended. If somebody's offended, it is what it is. But, you know, I personally am like, well, it's just, that's how I felt. That's how I experienced it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So as you have become, now you're a mom of a, how old is your daughter?
She's 2.5.
Can you please say her name? If you don't want to, that's okay. But we love it.
Yeah. Her name's Minnow.
So cute. Can you please talk about that name, please?
Yeah. So, my favorite aunt, and I say that openly, my favorite aunt, her nickname is Minnow. She's the only person who on my dad's side of the family was like artistic and who, was creative and was like a performer. So she was the only person in my family that was like an example to me of that. And when I looked at my ultrasound photos, there was like a picture of, you know, you see like their, the outline of their head. And then there was like bubbles or what looked like bubbles. And I was like, oh, she's like a little minnow. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's going to be her name. So I was like, and that's a family name, but it's also like, it's unique. It's not like a common name. And
it's so stinking cute.
I'm going to get in and get real personal. You had to do IVF, right?
I did IVF and we froze embryos and then I got pregnant 2 months later.
Just doing it.
Just doing the deed.
Yeah.
I had the opposite situation. I am very Catholic Irish and
in a car.
Snap two in a Mini Cooper and was 5 months pregnant at my wedding.
Yeah.
I really thought did you know that if you don't use protection, you will get pregnant? I didn't. It's like all the ads are true.
Yeah, I know.
What they say is true.
I know. It's either that or it's like, wait, I've been told my whole life that I'm going to get pregnant. And then you're like, why can't I get pregnant? Other people pregnant sitting on a park bench. How am I not pregnant yet? So it's like one or the other.
I had trouble. I had like Clomid and all of that kind of stuff. And we were going to do IUI. And then I Googled. Like, what's the white trash version of IUI? And I did that, and it worked.
Can you please tell her what that is? She
did the turkey baster?
Close. I did an app that shows when you're ovulating, but I put this stuff up my hoo-ha called pre-seed, because evidently I have an inhospitable vagina. Which is
seed?
What?
Pre-seed?
Pre-seed. It's just like...
Like mulch?
We're from Nebraska, so it's very much like farming. So...
Right. Okay.
Okay. So you put that in there. You have sex. You put a menstrual cup in, so it keeps everything up against your cervix.
Oh.
And then you put your legs up, and it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. Please tell Delilah that story someday.
No, I know. And our hairdresser did the same thing. I told her about it and she did it and it totally worked. Yeah. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I know. I could have saved you some money. I also have a vet in Tijuana. That's new.
Literally, I could have saved me some money. And I got pregnant without it. So I was like, what the...
What is it okay to ask? What was the IVF journey like for you? What was that? Is it you guys were having a rough go and then went that route? Was it like giving yourself hormones? Was that a nightmare?
We had gotten pregnant a couple of times and I'd had a few miscarriages. And I was like, I am scared to try again without like a guarantee that I am. That my chances of miscarrying again have been lowered significantly. Cause I was like, I just can't keep doing this to myself.
Yeah.
And so we did IVF for that, literally for that reason. Cause I was just like, I can't go through this again, but I also want a baby and, or at least I think I want a baby. I didn't know. I was like, it was just like, I kept getting pregnant. And then I would have these miscarriages and then I would be like walking around like, do I want a baby? I think I want a baby. I don't know if I want a baby. I don't want
to. I want a baby because I lost it
was,
this baby.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It was that. So I just was really confused. And I thought if I do IVF, it takes a lot of the pressure off of me and I'll have these embryos and it like lifts the biological pressure a little bit of like the timing of it. And I can just live my life, you know, and then. Yeah. I got pregnant like 2 months later.
That's how it goes. You go get margaritas somewhere, you loosen up, your cervix opens, everything happens.
Right.
And now you she's know, 2.5 and she gives no shits about how hard she was to bring into the world.
No, I got to be honest. Somebody told me, I think it was Leanne Kreischer told me that like the way they are as toddlers is the way they are as teenagers.
It's so fucking true.
Is it?
I'm doing that math and I think that's accurate. Yeah.
I'm so scared.
Yeah.
You know, the toddler years, while they are, I'm sure you're in it. You just feel like you're standing at a 90 degree angle all the time because you're just, they're just such wild little like yearlings that they're like, hey mom, watch this. I can just walk into a street. You told me not to, but I can, yeah. I have free will. They don't have any sense of that. They have a life to live or lose.
Right. Yes.
But then threes are, we like to refer to those as the fuck you. What is it, Jen? The
fuck you fours.
The fuck you fours.
Yeah.
With the psychopath threes, like where they're just, you're just trying to keep them alive and they do weird shit like sleep. They say weird stuff. Like my son one time looked at me and he was like, I wanna wear your face, your skin face.
Just
and
psychopathic. Like, yeah. Like,
but cool. Now as teenagers, that translates into they are the same as toddlers to teens because my son and I are literally the same, and therefore we just butt heads like champions.
But also he's got a big crush on her, which that's a whole other podcast, though.
That's a whole other podcast.
He's wooing her.
I'm his girlfriend right now.
Yeah. I think we are all obsessed with having a great looking manicure. I know we are because you all talk to me about mine. And if mine's subpar, you're mentioning it, right?
Well, but can we talk about that? That's so expensive.
It's so expensive. The upkeep on it is impossible. And so that's why I've been getting to do my own gel manicure, ladies, with Olive and June. It is easier than going to the salon, obviously. And there's so many options like gel, builder gel, there's press-ons. You get a polished, great-looking manicure that is quick, affordable, and actually enjoyable. Like Delilah and I sit down with our little manicure machine that came from Olive and June. We paint our coats, we put our hands in, we do it together, and it still takes like a third of the time it takes to go to the salon and do all of that.
That's the thing. If you can cut down on the time, I love that. I like going to the salon every now and then, but if I can mostly do it at home, I prefer. And I'm especially into their gel mani system because it basically hands you the whole salon in a box. Yep. You get a 5-finger LED lamp, all the pro tools, a HEMA-free gel polish that can last up to 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's all the bad chemicals are taken out.
Oh, that's great. And when you break it down, each manicure ends up costing a couple of bucks. So you can keep your nails looking polished and feeling confident without having to book an appointment or leaving your couch. The press-ons look super natural. They come in a ton of sizes, so they actually fit your nails and they don't wreck your real nails when you take them off.
Yeah, and it makes me crazy because sometimes you will go to a salon, get your gels, and they're off in a few days. And I feel like Olive and June's just last longer.
And there's quick dry polish, which is perfect if you're impatient like me. It does it in about a minute, lasts about 5 days, gives an overall coverage in one or two coats, and comes in more than 40 vegan, cruelty-free shades.
Visit oliveandjune.com/imomsohard for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/imomsohard for 20% off your first system. Okay, so I have like some mom questions I want to ask you about because you're a cool mom. I'm a very nerdy mom. So I want to know, like, you're in New York, right? Are you in the city?
Yes.
How?
Yeah, dang girl.
Are you a zillionaire? How hard is that to parent in the city?
It is hard to, it is really hard. And I am not a zillionaire, which makes it like way harder.
Yeah.
I'm also currently going through a divorce, which is super.
Oh.
And I mean, it was my choice, but it's still expensive. You know what I mean?
Right.
It is.
And it's emotional. Like, it's emotional. It's emotional-ish. It is emotional, but it's also like, kind of great.
Girl, you've got material.
Honestly, it's kind of.
You've got shit to say. Well,
good there's for you. Good for you.
There's real benefits to living by yourself again. But like, it is.
Tell me about them.
Really? I know. But it's expensive. So I did buy this apartment, which is a co-op, which is like the only way to like buy in New York if you're not a millionaire.
Right.
And so I bought this place like in July, and I did it right after, I think it was right after Trump got elected, because I was like worried about the tariffs and like that being like raising rent prices and inflation.
And the rate, you know? Is like 7 right now or something.
Right. Yeah. So I bought it and I was like, if I want to stay in the city, I need to buy a place right now because rent is going to go nuts.
Right.
And so I was smart enough to do that, which is maybe the only smart financial decision I've ever made.
That might be all you ever need, honestly.
Right. I mean, you know, it's
here's your savings. There's your retirement.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm kind of, it's expensive, but I'm making it work.
But I feel like, I mean, I love New York. Like I get FOMO about like your winter this year. I wanted to kill TikTok. All they were shown was all the snowball fights in the parks and the everybody making sculptures. And I would call Casey every day and I'd be like, is it snowing? I have in my head, and please tell me, don't tell me if I'm wrong, but is it kind of great having a kid in New York and like knowing that she's growing up in a city and like your subways and everybody, it's fast and there's parks and it's all cool.
It is. It's great. But it's like, you know, you're a mom. So you're just like, is, you know, it's amazing for me. I'm like, she's getting the childhood I always would have wanted. But like, you know, there's two sides to it. You're like, she doesn't have a yard. You know what I mean? Like it's, we're right by the playground, so we can just do that. But it is, I'm like, it's so weird to be raising a kid in such a different environment than what I was raised in.
We were literally just talking about that because we're both from Nebraska and then moved out to LA at different times.
Yeah.
And to know that my kids are Cali kids, and we were literally just talking about this. I said, I had a full-time job when I was 15.
Yeah.
I would, and this makes me sound like
corn.
Detasseling corn. That's not a joke. Like working in a field.
Right.
My kids would die.
Yeah.
Their precious little privileged hands would die.
Yeah.
And like, I really struggle with that. Yeah. I'm like, they just have, and also just the access to so, there's so much here that I feel like sometimes I feel like our mile per hour is so high. And then when I go to Nebraska, I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to, you don't have to rush from A to B.
Yeah.
You can take all the time in the damn world and no one's on the street.
I know.
Looking at you.
So much of my day is reminding myself that I'm not late for something.
Oh my God.
And you're from Virginia originally, right?
Yeah. Like right outside DC.
Okay.
So not like Southern Virginia, but Northern Virginia.
You can have a pretty normal life there.
Like suburban upbringing.
Fancy Virginia, based on what we were reading about your dad.
Yeah, fancy Virginia. Yeah.
Fancy Virginia. I don't know if you know, we performed in, where were we, Jen? Where it was a casino attached to a racetrack.
Yeah. I don't know.
Weren't they always, though, you know?
Yes.
I mean, here's the thing. They were really good to us, but I got an exposure to a part of this country I've never seen before. And the people were so lovely, but this guy was like, you interested in buying a horse? And I'm like, maybe I am. I think I might be. Let's go to the stables right now after we just did a show and we'll see 100, you know, it was the weirdest, most fun thing. Was that West Virginia? I think it was West Virginia.
It's like I hit my head. I can't remember where we were. I remember like if the TV was good and the pillows were good in the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, but DC, we love doing shows in DC. DC's been really good to us and it's fancy.
The casino there. Yeah. We go to we play the casino there.
I love DC.
It's a great city.
So much. Okay. I mean, it's a really great city, especially for performing. Like people come out, they're so excited to see you. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm going to go back there this summer. I'm so stoked.
Yeah. Cause you're touring too. So I got to ask logistic questions. How do you keep track of mittens in the winter? Like is Minnow coming with you on your tour? Or are you going to, I know your situation is switching up, but.
Yeah. So she comes with me. I would say one out of every three dates.
Oh, so, that's like, great.
I try to keep things really as stable as possible for her at home and try to keep her life as normal as possible while also like allowing her to come with me when she, you know, when I'm, because if I'm away, I just feel terrible, but I'm here throughout the week. So it's this weird thing where like, you know, the time that I would really want to spend with her, I am away on the road.
Right.
So I try to like, instead of like packing her days with like tennis or soccer or whatever, like I try to spend time with her, just the two of us. And we'll like go to the playground.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's a little different than like what I've seen other New York City kids doing. Cause like their parents work. So they just have like activities
after one after the other.
Yeah. And her, I'm just kind of like, when she wants to do those, she can let me know. But like, I'm like, you already went to school.
Little.
Yeah. I'm like, you're little and you just went to school. Let's go play on the playground or like draw or like make cupcakes or whatever. So,
But it sounds like you're making yourself present, which I think all parents struggle with, which is like putting down the phone and literally listening. Because like, I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. And they drone on about the most boring stuff that I don't want to hear about.
Right.
But you have to be invested in it because they care. Like they're, it's the highest level in a game. And like putting your phone down, putting work aside. So maybe sometimes like getting it all out of the way in one time with your travel is a gift.
Yeah. It's really, I really, really enjoy like hanging out with her. I gotta say, like it is, she cracks me up. She's so funny. She's so mean. And like,
that
really
will get worse too.
In a way that like is so funny to me. Like when I brought her to see Santa, like she doesn't like Santa and she cries every year. And I was like, let's give it another shot. I took her to see Santa, put her on his lap, and you can just tell she was raised by two comedians because she like whatever you would say to get a reaction, she goes like seven levels over that. So I put her on Santa's lap. She just started screaming, "It's my body," over and over and over. And she's like, "It's my body." And then Santa literally hands her back to me. I take her. I'm like, let's get the hell out of here. And as I'm walking away, she over my shoulder yells at Santa. She goes, don't come over.
God bless her.
Mine, yeah. She's 10, so she has really no excuse, but will yell, this man is not my uncle. And I don't know where that came from, but it's the same thing.
Genius. Yeah. I don't know this person.
Yeah. Smart. A little stranger danger knowledge stuck at some point.
Yeah.
It is fun. I do. That age is really fun, though, to hang out with them because you start to see these glimmers of their personality coming out. And sometimes, I don't know if this happens to you, where like, I remember, like, especially because my son looks like me, being like, oh boy, I see myself right there. Like, right. That sounds like me and that looks like me. Or they'll pick up on little nuances of the way you say words and then they'll start saying words that and they'll use it against you. It's like, it's really fun at that point because it's all new and fresh and they don't know how to wield those swords.
Right.
But then you give them a decade to work it out and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm battling myself.
I know.
And I'm losing.
I know. I say this all the time. I'm like, she looks more like her dad, but she has my personality. And I'm like, it has not been a pleasure to meet me.
Like, girl, you're not, when they look most like you, it's when they're being the biggest a-hole.
Yeah.
Like that's the truth of it. So,
it's so true.
But so in your, can I say this one thing about that I read and has really helped me? Because I read too much, most of it just on TikTok, so it's not even that useful. But like, you get to be the person you needed at that age, you know, like, yeah. As my daughter's getting older and more rebellious, I'm like, what did I need to, I still needed to feel smart at that age and like heard. So I'm trying to be that. I mean, I yell a lot, but I'm trying to be that parent, you know, where you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like I was like really sensitive and I didn't get a lot of like, you know, it was a lot of like, just calm down, like, shh, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure.
And one thing that like blows my mind with her is that she's 2.5 and she'll go like, I'm frustrated. And I'm like, what? Like, that like blows my mind that she. Like,
how can you declare your emotional status so freely?
It's so amazing.
Doing a great job. That's why.
Like, that's like the one where I'm like, good for me.
You know? That is good. That's huge.
Yeah. But there's so much other stuff that I'm just like absolutely flubbing and fucking up that it's, you know, those little wins, you got to count those little wins.
Take them as you get them. Yes.
Girl, you got to write them down and put them in your notes on your phone because you'll go back there over and over as time goes by. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Kristen.
I don't know if you know this, but financial stress and the impact on our wallets can also affect our mental health. And I don't know if you know this, but kids are expensive and they also are not frugal. They like to just spend and spend and spend.
Oh, you mean like how they think we're millionaires? And,
yeah, that going through a drive-through is just a mandatory event that we do every day and money grows on trees, all of those things. It's important to recognize that struggling with money is common and that getting the right support can make a real difference. And that's where BetterHelp comes in.
I don't think people talk about it enough, how much like a third of your brain sometimes is concerned about your financial wellness or not wellness. And the stress that it does is because it's not just you, you're a parent. So you're worried about your kids too.
I think it's my number one worry.
I think for most people, if they're honest, it probably really is. So that's why I love BetterHelp, because it helps me deal with all of these stresses. Because especially you're like, I don't have time for anything but making money and providing for my family. But you do have a little time where you can get online and do a little. It's not even self-care. It is care for your entire family, for you to be in your best mental state. So it just makes it convenient.
And that's what I like about BetterHelp. It is very convenient. You get matched with a licensed therapist of your choosing. You don't have to go to a waiting room, and it's more affordable. So when we're talking about money worries, you don't want to throw money at something that you feel like doesn't work for you. You want something that works for you. And I really, really stand behind BetterHelp.
it's nice to have somebody that you're not going to feel embarrassed or shame in talking about, because there's stress, anxiety, and shame that come with money problems. Maybe you aren't having a good time talking about it with your spouse. Maybe you're too embarrassed to talk about it with your friends. But that's why BetterHelp is just an objective ear to help you along. I mean, they're not giving any money advice, but they're helping you feel grounded.
Yeah, and I think anytime you can take the shame out of something, it makes it easier to sort of tackle it in your day-to-day.
All BetterHelp therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. and follow a strict professional code of conduct, so you know you're talking to someone qualified and legitimate.
BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform with over 30,000 therapists and has helped more than 6 million people and has an average of a 4.9 out of 5 rating from over 1.7 million client reviews.
When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/imomsohard. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/imomsohard.
So, okay, can you talk a little bit? I have so many things, and I'm ADD and I run fast, so here we go.
Same.
Can you talk a little bit about, so your dad is a secretary?
No, my granddad okay,
was your grandfather.
State, yeah, under George Bush Sr. And was like chief of staff under Reagan and stuff, so it was very like political family, you know.
I saw your stand up bit about how you went to an Easter egg hunt at the White House and you were like, what, your joke, it was very funny how you were going through the White House and you were like, this is a rental.
Yeah.
You were like, speaking to the fact that you were raised with privilege, and that's the thing I really like about your material is like, you just say the thing and it's like, you don't have to excuse it. You don't have to glorify it. You don't have to really get into it. You're just like, this was my truth. This is how I was raised. And now I'm going to make fun of it. And you talk about how you're more like the core of you is like your waspy dad that like, you're like that you don't believe in food allergies. There is no such thing as a dairy allergy. I've never connected to anyone more. I am innately going to end up an old man.
I know. I really have become like my dad in a very fucked up way. Like in ways that I'm like, I promised myself I wouldn't, but he has had such an effect on me. And I, for a long time was like, no. And then I had a kid and it was like, oh no, I am. I'm like, eczema is not, I'm like,
real.
Eczema is not.
Actually, I mean, it's.
Right.
And I'm starting to think that this orthodontia shit is not real either, y'all. I just got pegged for a $110 no-show yesterday. I'm fucked.
Rosebud, this woman didn't believe in readers until about a year ago.
I'm the same way. I need glasses so bad. And I'm like, if I just don't use them, my eyes will get stronger.
Kristen Taylor, save her some headaches.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, you get on one, you get a oneer. You get a oneer, and guess what these are? 1.5, because they're making me weak. Okay.
Yeah.
They're weakening me.
Right.
This is, I can see you. I can't see you. Don't do it. Just keep your eyes blurry and they'll get better.
I know. I'm like, everybody looks better when you're blurry anyway. So I'm like, let's just give everybody a Hollywood filter, like an old,
a nice little glow. Yes. I'm with you.
can we talk about, okay. Cause I know that we call them the moms, are like loyal fans. There are bar regulars. And so many of them are like from the Midwest. And so they would love to hear, like, you were pregnant going to like the Comedy Cellar in New York.
And
like, you're a stand-up, which I mean that with the utmost respect. Like, you were doing it. Like, you're pregnant going 4 nights a week. Tell us about that.
I was touring. So every weekend I was touring. I had, I shot my special, The Motherlode, when I was 8 months pregnant. And then I shot the other half of it a year after I'd had Minnow. And I combined the two to sort of take the jokes. And I was like, I was interested in what was going to happen to me after pregnancy. Like, the pregnancy part, I was like, this is all There's a bunch of like lies that people tell you, and there's a bunch of stuff that people that you're not prepared for. But what I found was really a mystery to me was like the postpartum of it all. And I thought, I wonder how my jokes will develop and change over the first year of motherhood. And so I decided to shoot my special that way, where it was like, let's shoot the hour, 8 months pregnant. And then let's develop that same hour and shoot it again a year later in the same place, and just edit them together so that they
awesome.
So that you yeah. get like both sides of it.
And what was your big takeaway from that? Like when you think about that now, especially from the purview that you have now.
Yeah.
What was your observation about that postpartum experience?
Well, I thought for a while, I thought that it was like, I thought I was going to be, I thought I was going to be different than I am, you know, like I thought I was going to be like, I really did not know, but I felt like whatever it is, I want to see it. And I don't want to control it. I want to see what happens like creatively. And when I watch it now, I go, oh, this is the most honest thing I've ever made. Like, yeah. I don't know if I...
The baby or the special?
The special. She lies all the time. But I really am like, it's weird because I don't think I've ever made anything that I can really honestly say that I'm proud of 100%. Where I'm like, yeah, I did it and I'm proud of that. But I don't know if I'm proud of the work. When I watch The Motherload, I go, oh, that's exactly what I set out to make.
Ooh,
and that's, yeah. And I really wanted like a very honest take on motherhood and what it really feels like, so that if you are trying to have a baby, you know, there's something in it for you, because it talks about the miscarriage part of things and the IVF. And then if you just had a baby, you'll enjoy it. But like, if you're somebody that is like, I don't know if I want kids or not, and you're just looking for like some affirmation of where you stand on that, I feel like it really is good for both sides, you know, because I really tortured myself with whether or not I wanted to be a mom. And there were so many identity questions that I had around motherhood because of touring and because of stand up and because right. I dedicated my entire adult life to my work. So yeah. having
and it's a boys club.
Replace that as like the most important thing in my life really threatened my sense of self.
Yeah.
In a scary way. So
you are a different person after you have kids. That's yeah. where the name My Mom So Hard came from, is like, it is a through line of every part of your life.
Yeah.
You like, if I were a brain surgeon doing surgery, I would be thinking about who is picking up my son from soccer, you know,
and you'd be getting a call from that kid going, where's my, I don't know, my shin guard
water bottle. Yeah.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're like, I don't know, just operating on a brain.
I love that. Yeah. I love it because I find this now I've made this about me, but I feel apologetic for motherhood sometimes. I feel lesser than, and I especially feel like I don't get taken as seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my concern. I was like,
yeah.
I realized when I became a mom that I've never respected mothers. Like,
ooh. It's true. I get that. I hear that because I think the same happened for me. I felt the same way. I was like, oh, it'll just stop your momentum. Once you become, you know, single me that was grinding and doing all the things went, oh man, if I get married, I'm just going to be a wife, and then I'm going to have to like devote my time to this other person. And I don't want to do that. And then if I have a kid, I'm going to have to switch everything up and the part of me that's funny and the part of me that's impulsive and the part of me that's wants to go out and into the world and be energetic and a little bit of a loose cannon has to like button up. And I don't know how to do that. And I don't know if I want to do that.
Right.
And I think when we started My Mom So Hard, we were both, you know, I just remember being like, I had just started dabbling in stand up and I was like, I had done stand up and then I had a fucking, just a crash and burn night that like traumatized me. Mm-hmm. And, then when I started to dip back in after having a kid, I was like, oh, I actually have a stronger point of view now than I did when I was single and grinding and trying to find my voice. I now feel like I need everybody to hear what's happening to me because this shit is next level. Did you find that that happened to you? Did you find that having a kid like made you want to go, hey, fuckers, I might not be available at 1 a.m. to do a show, but I'm not fucking going anywhere.
Yeah, it definitely made me go like, the time that I do have is so much more focused because it has to be.
Right.
I don't say yes to everything anymore. And thank God for that, because there's so much bullshit that I was saying yes to that I'm like, just to be like, well, I want to be like, I want to be available. I want to be out there. I want to be.
Totally.
And I kept that up for a while. I tried for too long as a new mom. I tried to like just say yes to everything. And I very quickly realized that my body will snap in half if I.
Right.
Yeah.
We talked to a mom last week who got TIAs, like mini strokes from trying, which leads me to my next question, which is you had like a newborn when you were working on SNL, which is like the most impossible schedule. Like, don't you go in at like 3 p.m, work till like 3 a.m. or something crazy like that?
Yeah. 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 It was crazy. I was 6 weeks postpartum when I went back.
God.
I was fully out of my mind.
Sure.
Like, out of my mind. And I
just have this vision of these like 21-year-old dudes being like,
fuck those guys. I would have been like, these are called pumps. Like,
No, I'm like, I didn't breastfeed because I was going to go back to work. I was like, I put everything like, I really was like, I'm going to go back to work, so I can't breastfeed. So, we're going to do bottles. We're going to do like breastfeeding for like a week.
That's okay.
You know? And then like, went back to work and was just like, okay, yeah, we're just going to pretend like that didn't, like that's not happening.
Rose,
you know?
But my brain didn't work for 4 months after I had.
Oh, no. My brain didn't work. Like the reason why I get so tongue-tied is because the whole thing is like trying to remember a car crash. Like I can't really spell out like what happened. I just kept going and, you know, like found myself at the end of the year being like, whoa, I just did that, you know?
So you're writing on SNL, you have this new baby, you're in postpartum, you're doing all these things. You're such a go-getter. When did you start writing the book?
I started writing the book, right before I started IVF, I started writing the book.
You've had a busy fucking couple of years, girl. Yeah. Now, yeah.
So I was writing the book like in between, you know, like SNL has breaks where we'll do like 3 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And so I would have these breaks of like 2 weeks off. And then when Minna was-
I would have just watched Netflix.
And I would just like, yeah, I would just like be like, I just was writing. And the thing was, I had so much in me to write about. Like I had so much. And a lot of it didn't make sense. But as long as I didn't like stop and try to edit myself while I was writing, I felt like there was nothing that could really like stop me from doing that.
Did you have postpartum depression too?
Yeah, I did. I did not realize that until truly I like September of 2025. So like a few months ago.
Wow.
Like I didn't realize that I was going through postpartum depression because it wasn't like low. It wasn't like it didn't present as sadness for me. I wasn't like crying all the time. But what was happening is I would be in the middle of like a really joyful moment, an objectively joyful moment, and I couldn't feel it. And it was like nothing was like getting in. And so when I started clocking that, I reached out to my psychiatrist and I was like, hey, I don't know if this is like postpartum or if I'm just burned out because I'm working so hard.
And
like,
all of it probably.
I, yeah, I'm like, I really can't tell if it's like one or the other. And then she was like, all right, well, let's just keep an eye on it and like, let's touch base in 6 months. And so 6 months went by. Then I was like, 7 months went by and then 8 months. And I was like, 9 months, I finally was like, okay, something is up. You know what I mean? And I
That's too
called.
long. I'm so mad they let you go that long.
I know, but like, I think I just didn't want, again, it's like the Republican dad. You know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah.
I just didn't want to like say it myself.
Suck it up.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have, look, you have a healthy baby. Why do you feel
Oh, yeah,
bad?
you're
You don't have any
ungrateful.
reason to feel bad.
Yeah.
Women have been doing this since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Like all that shit we tell ourselves, you can do it all, you can have it all. It's such bullshit. And also, I say to everyone, I'm like, you don't, there should not be the word depression behind it. You should just say you're postpartum and it covers all the bases.
I think
I think
everybody has it.
we all have
Some
it. You
version.
can't not.
Mine was
I
intense
remember.
anger because I was like, oh, there's no time to be sad. And like, I grew up in a home where you weren't allowed to really be sad. It was like, deal with whatever it is. And so
Yeah.
I was mad. I was like throwing yogurt containers at my husband, like, which is
Right.
not me.
Yeah.
I remember sitting after I had my son, and it was a pretty rough delivery, which ended up then causing me to have a cervical injury. So then on my second pregnancy, I was on bed rest for 5 months.
Oh my
And that's a car crash that I have it in my head that it was 3 days because I can't compartmentalize that it was five. If I start to think about it, I like, it just is too much. But I
Yeah.
remember after I had my son, and this thing, this just having a baby is catastrophic. Like we forget what fucking happens to your body when you make a baby and it comes out of you.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting on the couch and I felt something like, the only way I can explain it is like large dominoes in my abdomen, like folding. And I remember going and like sitting up, and I was like, what's happening to me? What's happening to me? And I called my doctor, and he goes, oh, those are your organs moving back into place.
Jesus. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I'm like,
How are we
cool.
alive? How are we
And now I'm going to
alive?
walk my kid to the park. My
Yep.
liver just recentered, but I'm going to go ahead and make some freaking pizza right now. Like I just think women need to remind themselves, and I guess maybe this could be your Republican dad saying it. Like if it was a coach talking to you, it's like you've been training and this is real, this is the marathon. This is the work. And
Yeah.
like you're allowed to have days that you don't perform well. And there's
Yeah.
going to be days where you perform well. And there's going to be like, give yourself a break. Like this is, you know, there's injury involved.
And
There's.
also go on drugs if you need them. I am the biggest advocate.
Yeah, I went on Wellbutrin and was like, oh, wait, I need to change my whole life. Like, I
Was
changed.
it that way for you? Like a spark?
Yeah, I went on Wellbutrin and I was like, I'm not gonna go back to SNL this year, and I'm also separating from my husband. Like, I was
Yeah.
like changing everything.
Once you
Like,
feel normal, when you start out your day kind of at zero, not behind the eight ball, you have clarity.
you can kind of see everything, and you go. You can see what's working and you can see what's not working. And there was a lot of the areas of my life where I was like over functioning, and I kind of realized I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. And I don't want that to be the example that I'm setting for her. Like, it's you
It's
got
much
to take care of
different when you're
yourself.
working for
Oof.
someone, when you've got
That
someone
just
that
got
you.
me.
Yeah.
It really did.
It's too much. It's like,
Oh,
I
man.
just was like, I just want to be kinder to myself and do the things that make me happy. And the pacing of my life, it's still, I still have a toddler who's just constantly trying to kill herself in my
Yeah.
house. You know what I mean?
Welcome.
But I am like, I'm so much happier, you know, and
Good.
even with
That's I
everything.
my friend Jenny, who's like a guru to me, she and it's some from some book. She's an English teacher. I'm not. I'm pretty dumb, but she says it's now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be good.
Right.
Aww. And I feel it on so many levels. Like I can
Yeah.
just be okay, and that's good.
Right.
I think I've always been good with just being a seven. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm like, my husband's not getting better than a 7. Like,
yeah,
as good as it gets, man. Like, go ahead. She's not going to want to deal with you.
Oh, God, you
like,
people who grow up with unconditional love, you're a different breed.
Yeah.
God, hey, man, I did, but I also have a debilitating fucking mental problem.
We are.
Like, whenever I take my medication, I'm like, I live like a slob.
Well, you, like, I know. Okay, so we want to talk about the book, but I have to say, besides the book, will you please keep doing what you're doing, Rosebud? Because I definitely know that men don't realize how important it is to speak directly to women in a language that they understand and hit all of these like really important parts of their life that nobody else is hitting. So please don't ever stop doing it.
I will never stop as long as I am alive. I wish that I could, but I don't. I've not been given the restraint of tongue that that my parents aimed to teach me. So
you're a witch. I love it. I love it.
So Rosebud, like, pie in the sky. What do you want? What do you want to do? What would be like your dream scenario? I get the feeling like,
and maybe it's changed too in the last few years.
Well, I want to make my own show.
That's what I was going to say. I thought I'd
make my own show. And I think I want to write another book, but I'm thinking about writing another book that's more of like a fiction. My whole body of work is so biographical that I was like, that I keep thinking about this story that I want to tell that I'm like, I really just want to write it as a fiction and see how that lands. But that's where I'm at right now. Like I'd also really like to have just like incredible sex for the rest of.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be awesome. Especially like now that I'm getting divorced, I'm like, I could really just get railed. That would be nice.
If that happens and it's not weird for you, if you could just tell us about it.
That too would be nice.
I'll come back on and talk about
just
it.
Just give us like, I mean, is it, can we, are you like putting feelers out in terms of dating right now? Are you not in that space, or are you just looking to
hook up? I'm not in that space right now. But you know, I feel like we'll see. I don't know. We'll
bring
see.
Us along. Bring us along.
My vagina is broken, so I would like to hear from somebody what sex.
I felt nothing from the waist down for like 2 years after.
I think it's hormones, right? Or
hormones, and also just like, now I know what can happen, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
there's a lot of worlds colliding, which this is the thing I love. You're so dark. Like, that's my favorite. That is my love language, is dark humor. And it's hard to like have this precious child and be like dark.
Yeah. Humor, I know.
Because it's still.
I know. My friend was like laughing at me because Minna was like, I think a year old, and she's a comic as well, my friend. And so we were on the road with our kids who were born 6 months apart, and they're running towards the window, you know, those like floor to ceiling windows, on like the 16th floor of a Marriott. And I go, Minna, I yelled out, I go, Minna, don't press on that window. I was like, you could fall to your death and die. Or like, I was like, the window could give way and you could die. And Casey looked at me and she was like, oh my God. And I was like, well, she doesn't know, you know, but she was like, you gotta work on the way that you deliver this stuff.
Well, they will come about their anxiety disorder naturally. I mean, is it nature or nurture?
I'm like, she's going to hate me for something. It's probably not going to be this.
And so your book is about, it comes out June 9th, correct?
Comes out June 9th, yes. But it is for pre-sale now. So you can order it like on my website or wherever you get.
Do you have the link in your Instagram too?
Yes. Okay. But it's rosebudbaker.com.
And then I cracked the book and it is a fun, fast read. It's like, it's fun talking to you right now because now, did you do the audiobook?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a big audiobook person, and hearing how you speak and your cadence, now when I'm looking at the book, I'm like, okay, now I can it comes into even clearer view, which is, I think, really fun. And when you're a comedian, I think that's part of it. Like you're, the way you land a line, the way your emphasis, how you repeat words, how you land a joke.
Yeah.
It's really well written. And I really liked how you were talking about, what did you say? Something about when you have a baby, it's something about receipts. Like this is
receipts. Like,
yeah,
your body keeps the score, but the uterus keeps receipts.
Right.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's the thesis of like that this experience for you is so clear, and I highly recommend it.
My labia kept receipts. That's a part of my body that has not recovered.
Yeah.
Does it?
Fully, my pelvic floor is so fucked.
It's so wrecked.
Yeah.
You got to find a good man to appreciate.
I had a C-section.
I did too, but it still wrecks you.
I don't know, man. I think I'm a 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not showing it on camera, but
right.
But I think it's pretty decent. I mean, I gotta pregame a little bit, but it's, you know, she's down. It's just she doesn't enjoy the person that she has to do it with right now.
That's my favorite. Yeah.
It's not that I'm closed off, it's that I'm pissed off.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, fucking men after a while, it really is sort of, you're like, what are we doing here? I'm just really sleeping with the enemy. But
yeah, and I'm still pissed off at him. So I'm like, yeah, you're lucky you're getting a 7.
Well,
you're lucky you're getting any of it.
Whenever I hear somebody's getting divorced, I say, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know?
Right.
Sounds like yours is a good thing. So
yeah, I mean, I have nothing bad to say about him. He's a great dad. But we just weren't good partners for each other.
Yeah.
You know? Like at the end of the day. But what I'm so grateful for, I'm like, there's no relationship I'm more grateful for, you know,
because right.
truly if what we came together to do was make Minnow, that's a success to
me. Yeah.
And he's,
you guys are co-parenting and doing that whole thing. And
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're finding our way. That's tricky, but we're finding our way through it. It's just, it's a huge adjustment. It's like a huge adjustment. You
know? Well, we can't thank you enough for being with us today and hanging out with us. And
thanks again, for having
me. If you start to just get like some really keen ass and you want to tell us about it,
we'd love to hear it.
We'll just do a special edition of the episode and just
a journalistic way.
Oh, I'll hit you up. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hit us up. We want details.
You're on tour and you're going to be in Los Angeles May 6th. I looked May that 6th. Up.
Yes. I'll be at the Hollywood Improv.
Great.
Netflix, we will be there. We'll be there, and we cannot wait for your book to come out. Everybody go to, say the website again.
Rosebudbaker.com.
Easy peasy. Okay. And you can pre-order it. It comes out June 9th. You're an absolute delight. Again, beautiful, but I'm super shallow. Love your bangs. You rock them perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my Obama era bangs. I appreciate that.
I'll never get rid of them.
Thank
follow
you,
her on you're on the Instagram and all that stuff, and
follow
the TikTok.
Her.
You can deep dive her TikTok and just see all of her content and all of the clubs.
You will stay up late, watching all of her hilarious jokes. So, I think we podcasted, Kristen.
I think we podcasted Rosebud
Baker.
Thanks, guys.
Pioneer.